Fantastic. Awesome. Great. Awesome. Okay, church, say it with me. God has not given me.
God has not given me.
A spirit of fear.
A spirit of fear.
But of power.
But of power.
Love.
Love.
And a sound mind.
A sound mind.
Say it again. God has not given me.
God has not given me.
A spirit of fear.
Spirit of fear.
But of power.
But of power.
Love.
Love.
And a sound mind.
Sound mind.
It is your memory verse for this week until the future. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We're going to break that down and then we're going to pray. I don't know about you, but I have been horrified about what I've been seeing on social media where people are fighting over toilet rolls. I'm sorry, but I haven't been going to the toilet any more than I did last week. I don't know about you, but that's the way it's been in our family. That is fear. We are Christians. We are not fear-based. We are faith-based people. At this time, right now, it is our finest hour to show the world that God has got this. God has got you. You can go into the opposite spirit of fear and you can go to faith. But you know what? It's going to be hard because what's in here is going to come out in the next weeks and months. For example, I've been traveling for work. I was in a hotel in Bunbury this week and I was sitting on the toilet and I saw a spare toilet roll and I thought, oh, do I take it? But then I've just finished Jay John's book on the Ten Commandments and thought, well, that's actually stealing. I don't want to do that. I am not going to steal. Lord bless the next person that comes through and needs that toilet roll. When I go to the shops, I'm not going to take all the rice and all the flour. My son-in-law was telling me this week that Australia actually produces 3 times more food than what it needs. You and I are going to be okay. I actually said at dinner last night, I'm actually worried that we're going to get fat. That would be embarrassing, wouldn't it? If Australians come out of Corona obese. Come on, guys. What do we do in these situations? We go to faith. My God, the hairs on your head, he knows. He knows every minute of every day that you and I are destined to be on this planet. It's okay. God has got this. Corona didn't surprise God. He wasn't like, oh, when did that happen? God's got this. But you and I, we can respond by showing the world that we have peace, that the love of Christ is in us. So if you, I was telling the Wellard campers last week, you know, let's bring it into the 21st century. The Bible says if someone asks you for their cloak, you've got to give it to them. If someone asks you for your toilet roll, you're going to hand it over. All right?
All right.
Okay, what are we going to do? We're going to show love. I don't know if it's loving to say that this is the judgment of God. I'm going to leave that one and park that one. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray and believe it's going to bring people towards God. What do you reckon? What do you reckon? Let's have wisdom, though, and do what we need to do. We're going to spend a moment. I don't know about you, but I just, come on, guys. This is the first time in my life, in 44 years of being a Christian, that next week we may not be able to meet. This is different times for the church. Other people in other nations around the world haven't been able to meet. So my prayer is by the time that we leave this building that we will be so pumped with faith that we'll say, devil, you're not taking what belongs to God and his church. That we'll stand and we will speak. The words and the confession out of your mouth are going to be faith-filled. You're going to tell your colleagues at work it's okay. You're going to tell your schoolmates it's okay. Do you know Jesus? Come on. Come on. Come on. Let it be our finest hour. Let's pray. We need to pray that our world will turn to Christ. We need to pray that our doctors will find a vaccine. We need to pray for those that are infected, that God, their life is in your hands. And I pray it'll be revival. Revival. The church. Let's stand. You can't sit and pray.
Okay,
we've got
church,
to be front-footed, guys. Pastor Charlie's going to lead us.
Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What does that mean?
Oh, we pray,
that
God.
Is that the spirit that is in the world,
Jesus,
okay, is not greater than you. That's you right. have the Holy Ghost within you.
Thank you, God.
You have resurrection life within you. And that's going to rise up right now as we
yes,
begin to pray
God.
And declare that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Oh,
we are overcomers.
Jesus.
Yeah, correct? Okay, let's pray. Come
Father
on, church.
God, come on.
Father, we thank you today,
voice,
Lord,
God.
That greater is he that is
God,
within
pray,
me
God.
Than he that is in the
Jesus,
world. Father, we are overcomers,
you,
Lord. Thank you for wisdom,
God,
Lord. Thank you for good news this week, Father God, that you've got this, Lord.
God.
You've got us, Father
yes.
God. Thank you, Lord. We're going to speak peace, Father God. We're going to speak your love this week, Father. We're going to speak and radiate joy, Father. Lord, let your face shine upon us this week, Father God, as we leave this place, Father. Lord, thank you for healing, Father God, amongst the children that are not well, Lord, that have this virus. Father, I pray for healing, Lord, for the young babies, young children, Father God, in Jesus' name. Father God, touch them, Lord, with your life and your power, Father God, in Jesus' name. Father, protect this city, Lord, protect this nation, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Yes, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Thank you, Father God,
you, God,
that we don't go to fear, but we go to faith, Father.
Come on.
Lord, we're going to share your word. We're going to share your love this week, Father.
Yes.
We're going to be sensible, Lord. We're going to wash hands, Lord. We're going to do all those little things.
Yes.
But, Lord, we know, Father, you've God. Got this.
That's right.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, God.
Amen. Thank
Amen.
You, church.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor
Can
Charlie.
Can we welcome Pastor Andrew as she speaks? Thank you.
Fantastic. Take your seats, guys. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to miss a church service. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Why would you want to miss a church service while we're still allowed to? I'm like, come on, God. I feel like I'm in the, like the Acts church, Greg. I feel like, the church in China. Oh, I just think it's so exciting that we can just like, gosh. Okay, I'm going to get straight into it this morning. Fantastic. Well, there we go. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Andrew, if you haven't met me before. I'm married to that gorgeous senior pastor, Nigel. He is the love of my life. Drives me crazy, but I love him. All the women in the married women went, yep, get that. Fantastic. So, you should pray your toilet rolls. God will multiply them. I was praying that this morning. He said, Lord, you could multiply them. I mean, really? He can do it with fish. Okay, enough frivolity. Title of my message is, which I think is quite cute considering I actually have had this message on my heart for quite a few months and now we've got these crazy times, hey? So my message is shut the door. Shut the door. We might all have to shut the door in a few days. Shut the door. Have we got that? Oh, don't open the door. Okay. Don't know how that happened, but anyway, close enough. Is that my fault? Did I? There you go. Seriously, shut the door. Don't open the door. Don't open the door. So we're going to read from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 22. It's about the resurrection. So then, the same day at evening, how are we going, guys? Fantastic. Being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, say that with me. The doors were shut. It's important. Where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Fear. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. He didn't open the door. That's important. Didn't climb through the window or down the chimney. He appeared. Jesus said, peace be with you. This is such a message for now. Such a message for now. Jesus says it twice to them. Jesus says again, now when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Interestingly, he had to tell them twice, peace. Peace. They must have been really afraid. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. You and I can often be fixated on the benefits and blessings that arrive with open doors. What happens when the doors are shut in our lives? How often do we hear people and myself say, I'm waiting for God to open a door? It's not wrong, But when we focus our lives on waiting for doors to open, we miss out on the miracles of a closed door. Most of us will have more doors closed in our lives than open ones. Jesus appears behind a closed door. What if I was to tell you today that closed doors have more value than open doors? A closed door precedes an open door. Before the disciples went out and changed the world, they met with Jesus behind a closed door. Your closed door season will determine your open door season. I'll say that again. Your closed door season will determine your open door season. What is it today? Health, work, marriage, relationships, kids? What is it? What's your closed door? Do not disregard closed doors or curse a closed door. Who's done that? Oh, Jesus, I rebuke this closed door. Who's done that? You've been around in church. You've been in the Pentecostal movement. We've all done that. Greg Moore, Charlie Ricardo, Steve Coppin, haven't we? No, just me. Okay. Or we can disregard a closed door. They didn't just hear Jesus, they saw and they touched Jesus. The real Jesus, flesh and blood, not a ghost, Jesus showed up. The door was locked and Jesus comes in. What's important here is sometimes God will close a door to you to reveal to you what you otherwise would not see. I'll say it again. God will sometimes close a door to you to reveal to you what you would otherwise not see. A closed door with Jesus is revelation. A closed door with Jesus is intimacy. If you feel that a door has closed to you right now, don't complain. Celebrate. Put a smile on your face because the next thing you are about to see is a revelation of Jesus Christ in your life. Revelation 3:7 says, "The Holy One, the True One, who has David's key, who opens doors that no one can shut, and who closes doors that no one can open." The doors that God opens, no one can close. And the door that God closes, no one can open. And as I said, we've rebuked the devil. We've tried to open those doors. But now that we're older and wiser, we actually thank God for doors that he's closed in our face. When I look back on my life, I would have married the wrong man. There was a closed door. Thank goodness I didn't marry the other guy. What about the job or the career? We've wanted to go this way and doors have shut. Or we've wanted to live in a different place and doors have shut. And at the time, we've actually said, God, it's not fair. But why does God do that? He does it firstly to protect you from others, from the devil and from yourself. You can't be trusted. And secondly, he wants to reveal something to you. A closed door will get our attention. We stop and we refocus on God. Have you ever had in your life when a door gets slammed in your face that you thought you were walking through and all of a sudden you're going, what happened there? That came out of left field. I wasn't expecting that health issue in my life. I wasn't expecting that awful situation. I didn't think I was going to do that. And a closed door will get us to refocus on what we need to do. And thirdly, what about the doors others have shut on you? Have you ever had that? A marriage ends. You weren't expecting that. A career opportunity. You thought it was in the bag. No longer. What about a situation where doors have closed in other areas? Financial, where you've lost your job. And you've gone, how did that happen? But I want to say today, if people have shut the doors on you, God will always have the final say on your life and your destiny. I remember it's our story, our future. And I remember when we were trying to get this building approved by council. Oh my gosh, doors kept slamming shut in our faces. There were people on the council that didn't want us to get approval for ulterior motives. Caroline Moore and I, we met with the mayoral candidate who categorically said, I will not support this building approval, the council approval that we needed for this building, the license. And when you asked her about it, she said, I'm just not going to vote for it. It was like doors kept getting slammed in our face. I remember going, we were trying to get bank finance. We finally got the building approval, but then we needed bank finance. I think it was 8 banks that just shut their door in Greg Moore and Nigel's faces. Doors shutting. 9th bank said yes. I remember then when we finally got this building and we finally got the go-ahead for the childcare centre and we finally got bank finance, we were about 800, I think 800,000 short of fitting it out. So we had the loan for the building, but we needed the business. And so I remember, you know, having to go to the Lotteries Commission at that time. They were giving community grants and actually meeting with the community grants officer saying, we're not going to give you a grant. And I said to her, but why? Because she said to me, you want too much. So I said to her, she said, we're not keen on giving it to churches. I remember sitting with her and saying to her, so what do I have to do to get a grant? She says, we're not going to approve it. I said to her, you tell me what we need to do and the obstacles. And I said, we'll meet them. And slowly over many months, again, door closed, but waiting for the time for God to open doors. And then we got the largest grant of the time it had ever been given to a community church group back then to build the building. Doors closed. What happens in those times? Well, I can tell you where the focus went. The focus went up. And you and I, when these doors close in our world, the focus goes up. When you've got a health condition and people are saying to you, you're going to die, I can tell you, the focus goes up. When you lose your job, the focus goes up. When Pastor Nige organised the Our Story, Our Future giving program, and we don't even know if we've got a church service next week, I can tell you, the focus goes up. God will allow doors to close so you and I will look up. Ho, ho. The door was shut. It was actually locked, but Jesus appears. It happened just after the crucifixion. Jesus goes through a door right after he's resurrected. This is important. That tells you and I that a closed door cannot stop someone with resurrection power. A closed door cannot stop someone who has got the same spirit that lives within me is at work within you. Romans 6 will tell us. But I don't think you and I believe it. I'm not so sure today that you and I believe it. I'm not sure that you would believe that you're quite there yet. And I'm praying by the end of this sermon that you'll believe it. So that when someone says, Andrea, I need healing in my body, that you actually think, I've got resurrection power in me. I can pray and believe that person's going to be healed. I've got resurrection power in me. I don't have to go to fear. I can go to faith. Because Jesus, this is what we forget. We don't realize that Jesus actually didn't know if he was going to be resurrected. He had to have faith on the Father that what the Father said he would do would actually happen. And you and I sometimes need to realize that even if the Son of God can think, oh my gosh, is that going to happen? What did happen was once Jesus was resurrected, what happened? It released power, unstoppable power. You and I need to know that when Christ is in our life, that resurrection power, then we've got to see that we can start walking through closed doors. Those areas that have been shut, God's saying you can start going through them because of that resurrection power. You know, I'm not going to let this world and where it's at right now determine how I build the house of God. I want more money in Our Story, Our Future, because I'm praying for a revival for when people come through the doors. We're saying, we've got room. Come on in. So what do we do? What does that mean? That locked doors cannot stop your destiny coming to pass. It can't. I'm not sure if you've got that still. Locked doors cannot stop your destiny, Jade. They can't. What is it you're facing? Is it addictions? What is it? Fear? Grief? What was interesting that was that Jesus was wounded. The wounded Jesus. Jesus showed his disciples his hands, his feet, and his side. Do you know that every one of us are wounded? To some degree. If you're not yet wounded, you will be wounded. It's not funny, is it really? But we're all wounded. You just got to live this life long enough to and be around people to know that you're going to get wounded and you're going to wound. But that's what's so incredible. It's because wounded people resurrected by the power of God can go into closed places. Wounded people resurrected by the power of God can go into closed places. What you have been damaged by, you can still, through the power of Christ, you can still move into your destiny. But Andrew, you don't understand. Well, I don't actually have to understand, but I know what God says is that that does not have to stop you and your destiny. God will use you and I to go places we didn't think we could ever go because of his resurrection power. It's about the resurrection of Christ and his power. I love David. He says, you know, as for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. I changed that this week and said, as for me and my house, we're going through the door. We're going through the door. Me and my house, we're going through the door. So what does he show us? Jesus, as I said, doesn't have to stop you entering your destiny. We have to let go and get on with it. Just like Jesus, your circumstances don't have to determine the outcome. What you survive will grant you access to restricted areas. You thought it was defeat. Actually, it's going to be your finest hour. You thought you could not live with the shame. Actually, that humility has now just opened the door. You thought that failure would never open doors. Actually, you needed it to open even bigger doors. You thought that sin would close doors to God's blessing. Actually, that repentance just opened the door. There is nothing that can stop those doors being opened when God wants to open it. You know, every time as a church we have taken ground and purchased a building, either in Fremantle or Wellard, doors have been tightly shut, as I said. And each time, the only way the door has opened is through the miraculous moving power of God. That's our story. Faith-filled people sitting here today have done that. You've said, I'm going to not let my circumstances stop me from building God's house. That's been your story. That's been my story. But today it's about our future. In a moment, we're going to look at some graphs, but today it's about our future. That's our story. We have to go back to the story the Bible tells us. Tell your children the story of God's goodness. But today it's about our future. What does our future look like for a church? Well, you know, it's interesting that our theme for 2020 is stronger. Really? I think that is actually prophetic. Because this is, seriously, guys, this isn't for the weak-hearted or the faint-hearted, these coming months and years that we've got facing our world. But you and I can get stronger. You and I can make a decision that we are going to get stronger because we're going to be looking up to what God does. Our story as a church is I believe that we are in our finest hour. This is the finest, greatest hour for our church to show the love of God. I believe that you and I can put a stake in the ground and say, God, whether there's plenty, whether there's not enough, I am going to commit myself to building the house of God. What would we do if 500 people walked in today? What would we do? Would we be ready? I was thinking of the time of Joseph, where Joseph had seven blessed years, seven lean years. What would we do? I'm glad to know, and I know that the board have been very wise with making sure that we do have reserve funds so that our house is in good order. But, you know, that's not enough for me. I want to go against the spirit of fear that's gripping our world at the moment, and I want to go into a spirit of faith. I want to plant a seed for the future, a seed that says that God's church, that nothing will prevail against it, the gates of hell will not prevail against it, that I am going to that Jesus is going to build his church on you and me, and that you and I are ready. You and I are ready for when those people come through that door saying, what do I do to get saved? When your friend that you lead to Christ at university, because they're so frightened, you're going to go, come with me and meet the person who told me everything I ever did. You're going to be ready when you're at work and someone says, Andrea, I'm frightened, I'm going to lose my job. You're going to go, it's okay, I'm going to pray with you. Do we believe it? Yes. Do you want it? Yes. Jesus often asked us, what do you want? It's a question he always asked people before he healed them. He says, what do you want? What do we want, church? What is it that you and I want out of the coronavirus for our world? I want healing. I want vaccine. I want God to be glorified. But I want the church to be bursting. I want people to know that there is a place of love. There's a place that we're going to share. There's a place that we're going to just say, it doesn't matter because God's got this, and lead people to Christ. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Well-known scripture. Whoever hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Oh, God. He's making us church. We're getting stronger this year. We're not going to let a closed door stop us. We're going to use that closed door to make us. And your testimony will open the doors to your destiny. I believe this church's greatest years are ahead of us. Has to be your declaration. Has to be your declaration over your children. Their greatest years are ahead of them. I speak that over my marriage. The greatest years are ahead of us. I speak it over this church all the time. The greatest years are ahead of us. You speak it out and watch God bring it to pass. You know, we hear that phrase, you never know what really goes on behind closed doors. If you're from a different culture, it has a negative connotation that you really don't know that person. You know, you don't really know what's going on behind closed doors. But what about if we change that today? What about if we said, don't be fooled, there's a closed door in someone's life. Maybe they'll just come out of it stronger because they've met with God. I know I have personally. I know many times where God has closed doors in my life where I've just got on my knees and said, oh, God, refocuses. And you come out ready to take on the world. What is it that you and I really want in this life? When you get to my age, you get most of those things. You have a nice car and you've got food in the fridge and you've got a nice house and you get the occasional holiday. Those things become very, and I know if you're young and you're still working towards those things, they're important. But I can tell you now, they mean nothing. They mean nothing if we don't fulfill the destiny and the purpose that God has got for us. So I want to say today, we may be coming up against some closed doors. Well, guys, this is going to be the time where you and I can pray. We can pray not only for our nation, but we can pray for ourselves, because those closed doors moments have made me do a lot of self-reflection where God has said, think I just want to nail that. We don't like it, do we? Behind the door, we learn to trust God with our finances. When you miss out on that promotion, behind the closed door, you go back to God. When you've got that health issue, behind the closed door. Revelation 3:20, God stands at the door of our heart and he knocks. Some of the greatest moments of my life have been around the dinner table with a group of people. We have laughed, we have argued, we have talked about things, haven't we? Some of the greatest times. It's interesting that God uses the analogy of a meal, of coming in and having a meal with him. It's about relationship. You and I, behind that closed door, can have that relationship with God. We go back to Jesus, we talk to Jesus about it. And I want to conclude with, Jesus breathed on them. He didn't go... He didn't spit on them. He went... And he released the Holy Spirit on them. Audacious prayers is the language of Pastor Nigel this year. Audacious prayers. My audacious prayer is that our church will have a revival because of Corona. What's your audacious prayer? My prayer is that this is supernatural. This unlocks things in our life. The audacious prayer, what is it for you? Why don't you just grab this out? And we're going to start taking these up today and we're going to get the little bucket out again, but, you know, we don't know where we're going to be next week. But we can start doing this now. We can fill it in. You can do it weekly, fortnightly, monthly, one-off, however much or however little you can give. You know, I haven't got it here, but Pastor Nigel and I, in 1999, we started giving $10 a week. That's all we could afford. $10. Two small babies who ate a lot. $10 a week. That's all we could afford. That little seed, Dom Sinique, is one of our original members, Charlie, Ricardo and Helen, one of our original members. We just gave a couple, we just didn't have the money, but we gave. This building's a result of that. Wellard, Port Care, building number 3. It's an audacious prayer. And today, this is, honestly, guys, I've been praying and fasting all week for this because I just feel that there is something in the supernatural that God wants to break. We can do it through our story, our future. It's a stake in the ground. It's saying, we are not going anywhere, devil. Back off, baby, because God's got his church and I want to be a part of it. I don't want to get to heaven and God say, how were all those European holidays? Which are not bad. I wouldn't mind. But, you know, God go, high five, girl. You did good. You did good with the bit that I gave you. You were a good steward. Let's have a quick look at our screen. You're not ready to do this today. I encourage you to start giving online. Get used to that, and you can talk to our accountant, the church's accountant, during the week if you need to set up online giving. Simple way, in and out, never sit, never get tempted, I say. We got some slides to go. Fantastic. This is what we did. Last year, we put a playground in over here and some glass doors, wanted to really refit out that room. We'll go to the next slide, guys. Looks good, doesn't it? So much better. Fantastic. We've got a playground, some kids' stuff now, which is awesome. I want to look at this. Put my glasses on. This is important because it shows you transparency from our point of view. So we received $63,000 last year, $5,000 the movement gave us towards our Wellard campus, because I love church planting, which is awesome. Over here, it went out on the building. So we put in that the glass wall that we saw, the glass doors, some renovations to the church, the playground, paid off some of the debt, put some solar panels on the roof, which is awesome, isn't it? Less cost, huge electricity costs here. And also the wages for the tradies to come out and do that up the top there, left a balance of about $14,500. I don't know if any of you have ever had an old building, ever lived in an old building. Pastor Nigel and I once, for a very short time, had a 100-year-old cottage. It was like the worst thing ever because everything just breaks down. Let's go to the next slide. Current loan. You need to take into consideration we've also included the Wellard loan in that for the building and the fit-out. Who would like a $2.298 million loan? Anyone? Not me. So that's up to the board. Do a great job of managing that. But our current value in a pretty, you know, weak market is 5.2. So we currently own 45% of our building. That's awesome. That's awesome. Who'd love to own 45% of their mortgage? That'd be good, wouldn't it? So there you go. So you can all pat yourself on the back and say you're millionaires. Woohoo! You're a millionaire, Chloe. You didn't even know it. Fantastic. Next slide. Okay, so we want to pay off $20,000 off the principal of the loan. That'd be good. That'd be good. Every bit in our pockets, less in the banks. God bless the banks, but, you know, there we go. It's our target. Let's move across to the next slide. I think there's one more. Here's some specifics we want to do. Reduce the mortgage by $20,000. We've got to do some roof repairs. Keep putting, patching it up, don't we, Greg? Patch up the roof, both at Frio and Wellard. Pastor Nige, he was so disappointed when we bought the Wellard building that they've got the same awful gutters that they have here. But that's okay. And then we're going to do some repairs and painting the ceilings and the foyer in the front room. As you'll notice, we've got water damage up the front. Fantastic. And I think, is there one more? That's it? Fantastic. Are you up for it, church? Are you? Why do we do buildings? Because we want them to come in. Bring them into your home. Fantastic.